Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and it's just the two of us, just a couple of honchos, couple of hombres, just doing our thing, rattling off facts in a super speedy manner with a limited amount of time. So this is Short Stuff.
So we don't want to waste time with long intros.
Right.
Saying unnecessary things.
Right, exactly.
So the Poe Toaster, huh? Is this the beginning of our spooky content?
Yes, it is, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, it's our favorite month.
I love October. I love Halloween. I've been sitting on this one since last year, actually. Have you heard of this guy before?
No.
And obviously, I didn't just ask Chuck everybody if he's heard of Edgar Allan Poe. We're talking about a corollary to the Poe legend. Everybody knows about Poe, the master author, the creator of the short story, believed to be the first person to ever write a genuine detective story. Edgar Allan Poe, everybody knows about him. We're not talking about just him.
No, but we are talking about his dead body.
Yeah, which Poe would love.
Oh, he would totally love it. He died, and he probably would even love dying under mysterious circumstances.
There's no way he didn't. He was probably like, as they were dragging him out of the street, he was probably like, this is so great.
Well, he was 40 years old. This was in 1849, and he was buried in Westminster Burying Ground in Baltimore, where he made his home. And it was kind of not a big deal at the time as far as, you know, paying tribute. He had an unmarked grave for a while.
Yeah.
Finally, a relative stepped up and said, can we at least get, you know, his name carved into something?
He just showed up with a stick and carved it in the dirt.
He may have.
Yeah. But, he was still fairly obscure enough that he was able to first be buried in that unmarked grave, but some local academics started to recognize the man's genius, and they actually held like an early GoFundMe to create a monument for Poe's grave, actually, and they were successful finally in 1875.
That's right. So they had a monument carved. He was actually moved. It was dedicated on a space a little more befitting one of the great authors of his time, and they exhumed him, moved the body. And about 10 years after that, his wife and his mother-in-law were buried along with him, which is sort of key in this story.
Right. And hopefully he wasn't like a Fred Flintstone type where that would have really bothered him to have his mother-in-law so close by for eternity. Instead, I have the feeling that it was a very sweet gesture.
Sure.
So that you would think, well, that's it. That's the most you could possibly say about Poe's remains laying in the ground at a grave. Not true. That was the case from about 1875 to 1949, I should say. And then allegedly on that year, the centennial of his death, he was visited by somebody who came to be known as the Poe Toaster, a mysterious stranger who showed up at his grave on his birthday, January 19th, every year, dressed in an all-black suit, a white scarf, and a big, black, wide-brimmed hat to cover his face, and created this ritual out of whole cloth that eventually attracted the notice of people in Baltimore.
Yeah, so what would happen is this man, presumably, would show up with a bottle of cognac and literally toast Poe and leave three red roses along with that bottle. They are not, and this would happen sometime between usually midnight and 6 a.m., so it was even led more to the creepiness of the whole thing.
Right, yeah.
And no one did anything about it. No one said, hey, grab that guy and let's see who it is. Let's rip off that hat and expose him.
Right. It's Roy Cohn.
But so what happened was, well, first of all, we should address the cognac. No one was exactly sure why He toasted with cognac, even though I read very quickly on the internet that Poe loved cognac.
Oh, is that true?
His stories. Yeah, he supposedly loved it, but couldn't afford it unless someone else was buying because, you know, he didn't get rich doing this.
Right. So, yeah, a lot of people are like, well, he should be using Amontillado because obviously the cask of Amontillado is one of his great stories. I don't know why he would be using cognac. Apparently, now we do know why. You just solved that mystery for me, Chuck. Thank you.
What about those roses?
So he would leave three roses on the grave, like you said, and they've people have come to believe that that's a gesture to give a rose to each of the people who are buried beneath that monument: Poe, his wife Virginia, and his mother-in-law Maria. So that one's probably the likeliest explanation of that.
Should we take a break?
I think we should, but first we'll reveal the identity of the Poe toaster after this. How's that for a cliffhanger?
Pretty great.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
So I totally lied on the cliffhanger. No one knows who the Poe toaster is, as far as we can tell, and we certainly don't. So there will be no revealing. We just wanted to keep you tuned in.
Well, I mean, there is one guy who claims he was the Poe toaster. In 2007, a 92-year-old man named Sam Porpora claimed it was him. He was a former ad exec. And he, in 1960, was made historian of Westminster Presbyterian Church, which was apparently in disrepair at the time and kind of just full of people getting drunk and you know, not treating the graves with respect.
You're right.
So he claims he did it as a promotional thing to sort of raise money and publicity, and it was he and his tour guides. This gentleman, Jeff Jerome, who is the curator of the Poe Museum, I think his quote was, "There are holes big enough in his story you could drive a Mack truck through."
Yeah, so
but I couldn't find those holes. I couldn't, like, I looked everywhere and I couldn't find him specifically saying why he did not think it was him.
Well, so Jeff Jerome has kind of become like the de facto historian of the Poe toaster because he ran the Poe Historical Society for a while, or the Poe Museum, I'm sorry. And a lot of people put a lot of weight into what he says. He claims that he had worked out a signal with the Poe toaster so that the Poe toaster would signal him and let him know that he was the real deal. Because over the years, there were what are known as faux toasters, who pretended to be the Poe toaster after the thing kind of became a big deal starting in the 70s. So that Jeff Jerome at least would know it was the real article. But he swears up and down, and most people believe him, that he has no idea the actual identity of the Poe toaster. The only interaction he'd had with the Poe toaster is at Poe's grave on these specific nights over the years.
Yeah, and I wonder why Sam Porpora would come forward and claim to be such so late in life. And they even asked him that in this article. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, why he came forward. And he went, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's not a very good... Yeah, that's a big hole in your story right there,
you
too.
Think?
To not have a motivation, yeah. If you're somebody who starts out... And here's the thing. Like, this whole Poe toaster thing became a kind of a cause celeb in Baltimore and in places outside of Baltimore. People would show up, and there'd be little groups of onlookers who would watch this thing every year. And like you said, very coolly, never tried to find out who it was. They just respected it and watched from a distance. So it kind of became like this cool thing. But this guy was doing this for decades before it became a cool thing. So, of course, there's some sort of motivation behind all this. And people who do stuff like that have a motivation behind everything they're doing. There's some larger meaning or something to what they're doing. So, yeah, I don't believe the Poe toaster would have come forward just for, I don't know.
Well, I mean, he said why he did it. He didn't say why he came forward and admitted that he was the Poe toaster.
Yeah, I don't buy that kind of story.
Who knows? I buy it.
Okay.
I think it makes sense as a former ad guy. But at any rate, and he was on the scene as well as the historian of the church.
Right.
So anyway, no, I think it's, I think there's a lot of credence there. But at any rate, the gentleman, whoever it was, would leave these notes occasionally. Mm-hmm. And one note in 93 said, "The torch will be passed."
It said in quotes, to be read in creepy Vincent Price voice when read out loud.
And then in 99, there was one that said the toaster had died. And there was a theory, and I think Jeff Jerome buys the theory that the torch was passed to his sons because they kind of did they were sort of lackadaisical about how spirited they were with their efforts, let's just say.
That was a really diplomatic way to put it. Yeah. Sometimes they would show up in street clothes. And from what I've gathered, like the minimum criteria for being the Poe toaster is that all black suit, white scarf, and a huge hat. There's a certain amount of dapperness that needs to be brought to this. And showing up in like jeans and Vans and like a, you know, Counting Crows t-shirt, that doesn't cut it, buddy.
Although the Crows, Counting Ravens, maybe, Baltimore.
I guess, maybe.
So one of these notes, though, that supposedly was left by one of the sons, if you buy that theory, was a prediction of the Super Bowl in 2001.
Pretty lame, Millhouse.
That the Giants would beat the Ravens. So if it was his sons, then I'd totally see how Jeff Jerome would be like, they're not doing a great job.
Exactly. So so finally in 2009, I guess that's 20 years, 10 years? Yes, 10. 10 years after the torch was passed, after the original Poe toaster died, allegedly, they just stopped showing up altogether. And they didn't show up in 2010, 11, and then finally in 2012, when they didn't show one more time, Jeff Jerome said, well, I guess I have as much clout as anybody being the curator of the Poe Museum. I'm going to officially declare this tradition ended forever.
Yeah, but not so. Because he turned on his heels 4 years later and in 2016 said, you know what, let's just throw a big party. We're going to audition Poe toasters. And this is where the story really like gets disappointing to me. I wish they would have just let it die. It's this mysterious, weird thing.
Is it the raffle?
Yeah, they have a raffle. They have a Poe-themed cake that you can win. You know, hundreds of people. They toast apple cider. And I don't mind them honoring Poe, but I think they could have just divided it and not made it part of the Poe toasting thing that came and went.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree. I like that it's a, I like the idea of what they're doing. I like the toast with apple cider. I like all, but I think, yeah, maybe hold it at the local library or something, because it really smacks of like the kind of event you would hold at a local library.
Yeah, and it's during the daytime, I don't think we mentioned, which, I mean, if it's not between midnight and 6 a.m., then just get out of here with that.
True, but it does give the Poe Toaster an excuse to do some day drinking of cognac.
That's true.
Once a year, at least.
Or apple cider.
Yeah, supposedly the Poe Toaster does drink cognac still in tradition.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't, did you say that they held auditions for the new Poe Toaster?
I did.
And the new Poe Toaster plays the violin, though, added a little extra flair?
Yeah, maybe, you know, what's going to happen is they're going to hear about this and then make us honorary Poe Toasters, and we're going to be way into it.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm going to wear a Counting Crows t-shirt.
And I'll learn to play the violin.
All right. So that's it, everybody. The Poe Toaster. This is one of those legends where I hope we never, ever find out who it was, because I think that's wildly appropriate in this case. Okay?
Ad executive.
Well, since Chuck said ad executive, that's the secret word for short stuff to be out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.